Today, for Always Record, episode 155, we have some audio that was captured in Boise, Idaho, as part of the 2016 Boise Spring Sync. The audio is a little rough on this one. I'm going to give you a heads up. Again, it was shot in a parking lot. We had just finished listening to Wally Schirold's presentation on the movie Contact. That video of that presentation is now available. There's a link in the show notes. You probably, if you're going to listen to this, you probably want to watch Wally's presentation before you listen to this. But this was just, the presentation ended, we stepped outside, we're standing in a parking lot, and I just turned a camera on and just started recording the audio. There's nothing particularly exciting with the video, or I'd share that with you. This is, again, it's this background noise, but it's totally listenable, and it's just a bunch of us standing around chatting after this presentation. I hope, true to the show's name, just decided to always record, try and capture a little of that for you. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks.
I was especially interested in the section on Airway's video unit. The one that recorded the static.
Continue.
The fact that it recorded static isn't what interests me.
Continue.
What interests me is that it recorded approximately 18 hours of it.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Basically, you've got your closed ring and your open ring and your closed ring. That's the CEO contact.
So, you didn't mention this presentation, the rings, the significance of the rings. So
yeah, that's a whole other topic.
So obviously the machine is composed of rings, nails, and then they even have that thing. We don't know what the rings are going to do, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So what?
And then there's the rings that they.
Well, that's. Can you talk to that?
Are
you
wearing? So there's a ring that Ellie has on almost all the time. There's a few occasions where she doesn't, and it looks like a mood ring basically. And she always has it on her left hand middle finger. And there's a few scenes where her father is also wearing that same ring. But the very first appearance of the father, he's not wearing the ring. And then immediately following scene where he's tucking her into bed and she's asking, oh, could we hear Jupiter? And he's like, yeah, with a big enough antenna, sure. And then she's like, oh, and what's the next one? I can't remember the name of the next planet. And he's like, oh, I'll give you a hint, Hula Hoops. He's like, oh, Saturn. And right as he's saying Hula Hoops, his hand pulls into view and you see he's wearing the ring.
The rings of Saturn, right.
Right, so more hints at rings. And the first time Ellie isn't wearing the ring is when she goes to the big reception where she's wearing a big fancy dress and she feels really, like, she's totally out of her comfort zone, trying to be all, like, frou-frou with high society. And there's the protesters outside, one of them being Joseph the terrorist. She's not wearing the ring, he is. And he's also wearing the ring in the video where he's shooting himself. But when he's revealed...
So those are the kind of things that are winks to me from Zemeckis.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Like those, I mean, especially the ring concept.
Like I'm in on it.
Yeah, and the whole production crew that did all the effects for Contact and all of, like, the assistant directors and everything on Contact, their next big project was What Are the Rings?
Oh,
yeah, Weta Digital did all of the effects.
Wait, nice. What about Hitler Broadcast, Olympic rings, and the rings.
Oh, yeah, the Olympics.
Another one.
How many rings are on the machine?
Five. Well, there's four rings on the machine.
Oh, four, okay. Yeah,
there's more, five
there's
rings
six on the Olympics.
The Olympics. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. That's another set of rings.
How many rings on Saturn?
We don't know.
A couple.
At least one.
The synchromystical thing that's interesting to me also that I was thinking about during it was the fact that the young Ellie, Joanna?
Jenna Malone.
Jenna Malone, she was in Donnie Darko.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep.
And I wonder if she wasn't almost cast. Because it's like more tunnels. Worm.
Right. Yeah,
worm
more wormholes. Yeah. That's right.
Time travel.
And it has a fucking plane.
Plane crash,
and did the movie come out in 2001?
Oh, it came out in October of 2001.
Yeah, oh, just before 9/11.
And
yeah.
It bombed because no theaters wanted to carry it because
right,
it had an engine crashing into a bank.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, what is that, Kelly? It's like, no, I'm Because there's no point.
This might be obvious, but you know the H logo. The towers with the world in between.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
And obviously his logo is the machine.
Yeah. Oh, in a way. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The rings in the center and the.
Yeah.
And there's the 12, like the globe is trying to look like 12.
Oh, yeah.
And as, and you had 12 points of your
thing. Oh, yeah, the 12 layers of the message.
12 layers of the message.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is the sir is senior, S-R.
Or
Hayden is Hades if you just move the N.
Right.
So Sir Hades.
And sir, you know, the right. word sir or sire, where that comes from, the origin of that word is Osiris.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Wasir is how they actually said his name. And there's a point where they like Ellie is such a like a hard ass and taskmaster, like when she's been researching this for years and they want to shut her down, and rumors are circulating that she's like listening to static. Watching static on TV and listening chaos. To washing machines trying to find patterns of chaos and her nickname that everybody calls her behind her back is the High Priestess of the Desert. A little ISIS.
So High Priestess, of course, is sitting between the twin pillars, right? So you go back to the H.R. Haddon, the Haddon Industries logo, right? That's that. But also...
sitting on the Orphic Egg, right?
Right. And then, but, you know, the whole 9/11 thing, you started your presentation by saying it's not inherently connected to 9/11, but I feel like it is.
You could.
I mean, okay, here's... I'll just throw you a few quick things, right? You have obviously... You have, so Jake Kotz's Stargate theory, right? Here's a Stargate, which gets blown up by a religious fundamentalist suicide bomb, okay? So, like, you have that component. At Ground Zero, you have the Millennium Hilton. It was modeled after the monolith from 2001 Space Odyssey, right? Mm-hmm. So, 2001 monolith. 2001 is when 9/11 happens, right? You have Hilton changed their logo after that to what is almost the Haddon Industries logo. Wow. It's an H with this swirl in the center, this Stargate in the center of the H.
The destroyed sphere sculpture.
Right, which basically what she rides in, etc., etc.
There's another cursive L's. It's L-E. If you take a cursive L lowercase and turn it, it's an E if you just sort of truncate it.
Okay.
And that's two towers. I mean, two kind of L loop shapes. So even in her name is encoded two towers.
Oh, sure. Right.
L-E.
But what about... So, like, for the movie Contact, this is on the record, is that the entire production staff sat down and watched 2001 A Space Odyssey before filming Contact. They all sat down and watched 2001 A Space Odyssey together as their inspiration to make this movie.
Oh, cool.
So then you have this further sort of resonance with 2001, the Space Odyssey, the Monolith Hotel, which is the Hilton Millennium Hilton Hotel. So like it's all...
Yeah, and what I noticed is there were three notes of music, string, very emphatically played at this one key point, where it's exactly the notes from the speak there was
third chapter
I wrote down when it is so another 2001
that's another encoded message the Close Encounters melody I forget it spells I have to look it up again. It's ABGAD which is Abjad, which is the name of these proto writing systems are called Abjads.
Oh my God. First thing I ever learned to play in
No, it's actually a writing system that doesn't have any vowels. Like proto Semitic. And it's called Abjad because those are the first four letters in that alphabet. Instead of C is the third letter, it's a G.
If I'm not mistaken, so I have this memory of the Lord of the Rings two towers. You mentioned they worked on Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously of the rings of the machine, but when did Lord of the Rings Two Towers come out? Because I have this 2002. Okay, because I have this memory of like seeing those posters and seeing the living in New York and seeing the posters for the Two Towers over and like feeling really weird.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, so it's like this was that same crew.
Yep.
It's fucking mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It was a residual resonator. Project. There.
It started like almost right when Contact wrapped is when pre-production on all three films began. Peter Jackson worked on Contact.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What did he do? You know,
he was like a second or
or like he directed other units. He was like an assistant director. He's in the credits. Buried in the credits.
I like how he was
digging it.
Yeah,
I know.
It's cool.
A little bystander. So yeah, it's a pretty loaded film.
Mm-hmm.
Say what you will about its surface aesthetic value, but it's
almost need to step inside. Like, we take so much for granted. Like, clearly, that was intentional, some of that synchronization with the monitors.
Mm-hmm.
This is a director having a good time, like when Alan puts a bunch of weird shit in Sync Quick News.
Oh, with the one monitor that was a few seconds ahead
yeah.
in time.
Like, they're doing that on purpose.
Totally
this is, like, for fun.
Yeah.
Like, here's a wink.
Exactly. And the coordinates.
Yeah.
Pointing to that are accurate, and then all of a sudden inaccurate, and it turns out he's in the same little town where the terrorist filmed his suicide
pact. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Show that he's in.
He's in
on
it.
All collaborating.
Yeah.
When you were talking about the one monitor that's showing the future, I couldn't help but think of the on 9/11, the BBC that reports.
There you go.
You know, the building that collapses.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
12 minutes before it
that's
actually.
That's a big
yeah,
in,
yeah,
in
yeah.
Contact is this whole idea of people kind of accepting, believing in the reality that's presented to them by
uh-huh.
the media, and that's
right.
a constant narrative device
right.
in the film. They're showing, they'll cut to just news footage and or people watching
yeah.
news footage. There's
even
tons of scenes.
Was it Building 7?
Yep.
You know,
being,
yeah, it almost looked like wearing Wag the Dog issue. Because
that's the one that
I was noticing.
Yeah, they found all this footage that worked
yeah.
for him.
So
that's
it wasn't
the deal
obviously,
break.
Yeah.
didn't call
yeah.
it.
It's like,
yeah.
I don't,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
You can get me to, all right, sure, we'll take
in,
physics and we'll just go with it, but like,
he probably would have enjoyed the distraction.
Why would that building collapse?
Later that night.
That's incredible.
A metaphor.
It is.
Yeah.
That's what I.
You think it's a red herring?
Yeah, it's where they want you to put it. Honey pot, red herring, stew.
Honey bed.
Well, okay, so you're into like the no plane stuff. One of the
not on camera, man.
Oh, come on. Well, one of the sort of elements that I've seen in the no plane theory is the idea of the 17 second delay in the footage.
Of which footage? Oh, we.
Right, specifically, this is about what is being broadcast.
Yeah.
Okay, they're saying this is when they're able to switch over to the faked footage, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
they're sort of like,
right.
You're watching live footage,
that's
and then there's this sort of moment
yeah.
where
yeah,
it
yeah.
drops in and suddenly
yeah.
some other.
I can't remember how long
there
it is.
There are two
yeah.
moments in Contact. The first scene where you're inside Haddon's plane and he's watching like the four newscasts at the same time, you don't realize that it's his plane at that point in the film. In that scene, and in the suicide video scene, if you scrub it very carefully, in the Haddon scene, right when they're like, the newscast is saying, there's widespread fear that there's going to be these new mass suicides, and he changes the channel, like in the middle of the sentence, and right in that moment, it literally jumps ahead in time, like 30 or 40 frames, like there's a shift, and it like zooms in, way super fat, like as if they literally trimmed out about 30 frames of film, and the exact same thing happens in his video where he's filming himself confessing to the crime. His video does the exact same thing, and that's the kind of thing where he maybe hit stop suddenly
right.
and then resumed, but
you would think if you're making a film you'd be like, let's reshoot that,
right? And the other thing is like at the very beginning where he's like futzing around with the camera, he's turning a ring
right.
on the camera to focus, although it's actually not changing the focus at all, and you can see his eye, he's looking up this direction, he's not even looking at himself in the mirror to see what adjustments he's making.
Right.
Just like, what? So all these little kind of technical
yeah.
anomalies, especially in a film by Zemeckis, which is all about his he's the technical wizard of Hollywood who went on to,
right.
create fully 3D films where every single detail in a 3D film has to be created from scratch, so you can even put more significance into the inclusion.
Right.
As opposed to like a real film where they're shooting, sure, maybe this little detail just continuity error possibly, but in an entirely generated 3D environment, everything has to be created, so it's placed in there deliberately.
Right.
And he was the guy, Polar Express and Beowulf were those two movies that made the term Uncanny Valley
yeah.
part of the popular lexicon. Oh, yeah, because they were so creepy.
Yeah.
They're not...
You can't translate the spark of life.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, they're getting there.
I didn't watch Beowulf, the B Because it looks so weird.
It looked, yeah, it's just...
It looks like compressed and shiny.
Yeah, it's
or
creepy.
Something. So, I like how you brought up the whole faith element at the beginning, though, with the juxtaposition. Although, I don't know if McConaughey was the antithetical to Jodie Foster. That was almost more the cabinet religious fanatic.
Oh, Richard Rank.
And the NSA.
Right.
Woods, right?
Right, right.
Were there more the severity of...
Sure.
Fear.
Well, there's the three primary religious figures in the film. There's McConaughey's character, who's kind of the more moderate.
Right.
There's Richard Rank, who's kind of the political activist for the conservative, for like the religious right. And then there's Joseph. Speaking of Joseph and all of his Utah stuff, Joseph obviously is the prophet of
Joseph Smith,
yeah.
Of Mormonism.
Yeah.
Right.
And in my research, I actually found an LDS movie analysis site. So, and they do their own Latter-day Saints analysis of the film Contact.
Uh-oh.
And her final scene where she's testifying in front of James Woods and everything, and he's like, why don't you just admit that it was a hallucination? And she's like, because I can't. I had this experience, a vision. And they transcribe that whole speech, and it's almost like verbatim to the speech that Joseph Smith gave to his disciples.
Oh, wow.
And the senior FX producer, Alan Lane, I think is his name, who worked on that film, is a Mormon.
Oh, wow. And James Woods, in real life, after 9/11, was saying in interviews that he was like, wow, I was almost on one of the doomed flights, blah, blah, blah.
It was before, or like a week before 9/11, he saw a test run where he said there was Arab-looking people.
Oh, right, yeah, it was that. Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
And he called the FBI,
right,
he said,
right.
And they just said, don't worry about it or something.
Right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
Interesting.
So, limited hangout.
Yeah, James Wood is...
Yeah, I think I was a more convincing James Wood than Will was Jodie Foster. We did that scene on our episode with McGregor's.
God,
the final the
contact, yeah. Where I played James Woods and I was grilling Will. I can't. I had an experience.
Well, to piggyback on that, I guess Carl Sagan. I mean, obviously, I'm pretty sure he was an atheist. Probably.
I don't think he was. I think
really?
He was. Agnostic.
He was.
Was he?
Yeah.
I thought he was
publicly. You can still have spiritual inclinations, I guess,
totally.
As an atheist, but he seemed... Well,
and if you watch Cosmos, there are definitely...
Yeah.
He hints on some...
I mean, he has a respect for the cosmos, and that way religiosity gets through in his messages, but he was, like, full frontal, skeptical, atheist type,
well,
skeptical inquirer type, you know? He was at the forefront of the skeptical movement that James Durante is the head of. And
I was just so impressed by the kind of moral, you know, quandary he presents in that. To the scientific.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's like more complexity in Sagan than most skeptics,
yeah.
But he,
no,
I would say he's an atheist.
Because the way he posits Jodie Foster confronting Matthew McConaughey after their like love scene or whatever, she's like, he's like, I saw some shit, I can't unsee it. You know, basically, he had his wormhole in a spiritual sense.
Yeah.
And the material atheist had her contact with the divine or however you look at that. And she was fundamentally living in a belief system where she couldn't, it was very much the dilemma of a spiritual person where they're like, I'm inclined to believe something that I can't prove necessarily empirically. And it's funny because he was the one supporting. Everyone else is like, we don't believe you. And, you know, McConaughey's like, I get it.
What's the... I didn't see it, but there's the McConaughey movie that's also based on 2001... Or, like, they say... Interstellar, right. And they say... We intentionally... No, I didn't see it.
Get on that.
I'm just not into movies. Yeah, whatever. I love sync. It doesn't have to be with movies. It can be with anything.
True. You'll probably dig the film, though. Even the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the first scene, because I have the...
That's what I'm asking. I didn't see the movie. What is... How does that connect?
Running out in Squatsy?
Yeah, is Interstellar... Interstellar, does it revolve around Saturn, so to speak?
Yeah.
It does go over on Saturn. It's the wormhole near Saturn.
Right, it's near Saturn.
In Interstellar. And the theme is love in Interstellar. There's this idea of love's kind of being a transcendent thing. I'm wondering, did the love affair happen to them throughout the course of contact? Was that when they ignited the love affair?
Well, they had their kind of one night stand in the beginning, and then she bails and ends up leaving. That's when like her funding gets cut. There's a scene where like she's leaving her and she finds the number that she left, and she picks up the phone. You think she's going to call her, but she actually calls her assistant. So, yeah,
let's go. You're a synchromistic
Clark Kent.
Maybe it could be argued that love, Aida's love affair with someone who was maybe more
synchronaut.
Part of her transition in a way. I mean, you know.
Her transmutation.
No, just her character arc. She's falling in love with some expression of love.
There's also the scene with McConaughey when they reunite after the discovery, and they're at that reception. They go out and sit on the with the monolith of Washington behind them. All the really intimate scenes between McConaughey and Jodie Foster are always with some big man-made structure behind them.
Like right behind him, no matter where.
Yeah, there's always the Washington monolith. But he says. She's like, oh, people are delusional. I need to see evidence of the existence of God. And he's like, your father, did you love your father?
Right, that's great.
And she's like, yes, very much. And he says, proven.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he's like the character of the Hero fan, where he tells you to believe in something, but she has to, like, actually experience it. So she's more of the character of the High Priestess.
What was the first character you mentioned?
The Hero fan.
Okay.
Are you saying McConaughey is?
Well, he's the religious content anyway, but she ends up being called the High Priestess of the Desert.
In Interstellar, he becomes like that high priest figure who actually goes through the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
With a robot.
And then becomes like this David Bowie analog again.
Wow.
All right.
And the Washington Memorials. Is that Osiris?
Oh, the obelisk? How much? It's probably Osiris in the fact that it's a giant.
Washington Monument?
Washington.
It's right across the White House, lawn, and that.
Is it? I can get behind that interpretation of it. Yeah.
I've seen that interpretation before. The phallus, the rescued phallus, the 14th piece.
Yeah. It's
in line with McConaughey. It's always in multiple scenes where they're. Yeah.
And then when they're walking, he's asking her about relativity, and you're willing to. That's the other thing is the whole time dilation. Interstellar is his big conversation with Ellie. He's like, let's talk about special relativity. Mm-hmm. You know, if this machine works, you'll come back and everybody will be dead because 50 years will have passed.
And then there's a connection to Videodrome as well with James Woods.
Cronenberg.
The television.
Right. I only saw that once. I need to watch that again.
Right. Oh my god.
It's like
god.
One of Cronenberg's first films.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to find all sorts of time codes
in inspiration to turn this into a video
for sure. I tried to actually have that prepared for today, but
because this is the makings of the wonderful.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks.
What did you find the relevance was? Seven stars. You're saying it's like different with the place that the Pleiades they were alluding to.
No, it's a symbol of the crescent and the star.
Well, not anymore.
Which is another week.
There's another week, and it appears in the scene where he meets her dad. He lifts up some sand, and it glints. There's little glints of light in the sand in his hand. Makes that same shape.
Right, I know.
They mention it in the commentary. And last scene of the film, Ellie is sitting out in front of this canyon just contemplating the universe. She picks up some dirt. Mm-hmm. You see the light glinting off it in the same pattern.
I think I was wondering is that Vega or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I think of that as this, there's many, many symbols. We were talking about it before, like the power symbol, the curve with the, with the segment or the dot, which is also like the letter C and O. Which are the first two letters of the film, and the way that they're graphically presented in the title, when the word contact appears at the very beginning, it's the exact same typography used in the novel. Okay, and in the C and the O are connected.
Right.
So it's a broken ring and a closed ring, and it's like the broken ring of the first machine leads to the closed ring of the functioning second machine, and this crescent star shape that I'm obsessed with. It's also Frank Zappa's logo, his mustache.
Oh, yeah.
A curve and a dot here. Oh, which is all over his, that's like his main logo. And, the crescent and star of Islam.
The scene where she drops the popcorn? Mm-hmm. It's kind of the Islam.
That's the first one.
So that's, the idea of Islam.
It had to be something
the
there. Lingering kind of
the destruction leads to creation kind of theory.
Yeah, or that Islam was responsible for destroying the tower.
Right.
So wasn't there in the Flight 93 that went down in Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there like some controversy 92. Over like a memorial that was built in the shape of a crescent? And they're like,
you know, it was Islamic terrorists. How can you make your memorial shaped like, you know, the Islamic symbol and blah, blah, blah.
Well, that symbol transcends just Islam.
No, no. I'm not saying that I thought it was offensive. I'm saying...
Were they trying to make it mirror the scar that they...
But it's plain Venus, right?
Well, so right, so you have the crescent and the scar, right? You have the same sort of...
Right.
No, there's not an astrological symbol that's equivalent.
No, there's not.
It is part of the own symbol. Like, there's like this squiggly thing that looks kind of like a three, and then there's this other thing that's like an inverted S, but at the very top is an inverted version. Yeah, it's right here. This thing, it's turned up.
Yeah.
It's also a fermata in music notation, which
means hold.
Hold. Sustain.
Yeah.
It was on the Petra bush yesterday.
And it was on the Petra bush. It's also on my mug.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, on the Om symbol, that little dot at the top is the is actually the symbol of Maya. Or illusion. Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, it looks like the Grateful Dead bear, man.
Huh? With patronizing man involved.
Yeah. Oh, and also the machine test scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is exactly 6 minutes and 9 seconds. Like, it's zero frames. It literally changes to the next scene at 6:09:01. And 6:09 to me is a numerical equivalent of the yin yang.
Oh yeah.
So they circled.
When she goes to Japan, when she flies over there, and she's like chilling in her, you know, they're like, come on, we're ready to go. She was contemplating, meditating, or whatever, but she was in a room that had the...
There's a Zen shrine that stands for journey.
Yeah, exactly.
And it has an Enso circle, which is a broken ring.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
What? Jason, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, the Pluto theme that you identified goes along with the Eleusinian mysteries. Mm-hmm. And that goes with the Hierophant.
Okay.
Guiding that kind of mystery procession in the Greek mystery place.
Right, or when they go to Hades? Or
Right. It's all about Persephone and Hades and mystery.
Oh, and so of course she goes, she's going to the underworld to see her dead father.
Woods is Hades in that stupid...
Hercules. Totally.
Oh, right. But okay, so it's interesting. So this idea that she would go through the wormhole, see her dead father, she's essentially going to the land of the dead, right? It's
kind of like... And the message is received on Halloween.
Oh, wow, okay.
Which is the big thing in Donnie Darko, too.
Right.
Totally Halloween was the...
Literally, like, there's the scene, the night, because you see he's carving a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's making that joke.
And he's making a joke, like, astronomers, what kind of person makes the best astronomers? Vampires, or whatever. Because they're nocturnal, or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, my experience that 2001 is also a journey to the underworld. Obviously, in the book, he's going to Saturn, not Jupiter, right? Which is the Saturn, the realm of the dead, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But even the idea when he says, he's going, like, open the door, Hal, open the door, Hal. If you listen, there's a thing where he goes, Hal, Hal. And there's one time where it's very clear, just play it back. He goes, Hal, Hal, hell, hell, Hal, right? He's like, open the door, hell. Open the door, like opening the door to hell. And he says it twice, and it's really clear.
You just play it back. Well, that's just changing the word how by one vowel.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's a linguistic phenomenon called apophony.
Have you ever seen rodents?
And if you change one vowel in the word apophony, you get apophany, which is finding meaning in random.
Right. And you must have said Hades, Haddon.
Well, here's the other interesting thing about Hades, Haddon potentially actually being an alien, because remember, he dies in space. He gets to live on this on Mir.
And it's so 2001, like the dead guy at the end.
Right, but he's also John Hurt, the actor, is chestburster from Alien.
Oh,
yes. He's also Winston Smith from 1984.
Right, on the table.
And when they say the signal from the aliens is what is this repeating digit up to 101? And what is Winston Smith?
Room 101.
The whole thing. What's in room 101? What's in room 101? Right.
Have you ever seen Event Horizon?
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like that, where you were talking about going through the journey, but I think in that example, it's like they've come back with the death or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
well, it's also interesting too, the way in that film and in Interstellar, the way that they explain how a wormhole works is they take a piece of paper and they fold it into a C shape and connect it. So they take the broken ring and and steal it, basically, to create a wormhole. Like, oh yeah, you have 2 points in space over here and here. You fold space, and then you create a tunnel to travel to the other side, and it's creating a complete circle.
And the Dune people
with
have
a broken circle.
Tech unlock at the beginning of Dune, right? They're like, we bent space,
yeah,
trying to get the spice.
So does anyone remember? Oh.
I'm not sure.
Golem stretch.
Like for making taffy?
Yeah.
Interesting.
What is that?
Yeah, those are really cool looking. Those machines that are constantly like
churning. And that's like the transportable machine. Yeah.
It's similar.
And gum. It connects with your gum mastic.
Oh, the mastic gum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the doctor on the name of the little pills. Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed when they sealed her into the pod, it had a very similar metallic. The metal,
right.
Like liquefied, a lot like Compliance, that Disney movie we were talking about last night. It's not called Compliance. It's called Flight of the Navigator.
Oh wow, it's been ages since I've
that's like a liquid metal kind of
totally
thing. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, man, there's a lot. That film is loaded.
Flight of the Navigator is where the kid gets the spaceship.
Mm-hmm. Time, he transports time. He falls into a pit, wakes up 15, 20
Thanks,
years,
man.
Years later.
Yeah, Flight of the Navigator is, for whatever it's worth, is like I watched that. It's a hyper Masonic movie, right? So you have like the Kabbalistic idea of like the shell and stuff like that. But if you actually look, it's there's three steps, and they literally have a G on each step, right? So he's got to step up
and they're triangular.
The 3 degrees. Like Blue Lodges have only 3 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Like 33 degrees is Scottish rite, but so it's like literally the three steps of the Masonic.
Yeah.
A pillar or
speed bumps of initiation.
Yeah, you'll see in a lot of like stuff like that where it's you actually see three steps leading into the temple.
Uh-huh.
So it's
see the spaceship. In this
yeah,
place.
In this case, right? It's literally three steps, then he steps into the doorway. Like I watched that movie a few years ago. I'd never seen it as a kid, and I watched it a few years ago, and I was like, "What the?"
Does it also have Beeman's gum? Is that one of the astronaut movies that has Beeman's gum? It's a reference to like a favorite.
It's a candy.
Candy.
Eaten it before Beeman's.
Uh-huh, yeah.
There's gum, too.
What's the gum from Rocketeer?
Because in that movie, Flight of the Navigator, his chick that gets him to escape out,
what's
she's smacking
from Rocketeer?
Her gum. So
is that
a
guy?
That's like
it is Beeman's?
Prop in her fucking character.
One of the things I forgot to mention is that when Ellie is living in Arecibo, and like there's a scene where she is, you know, the post-coital scene with her and Matthew McConaughey in bed. There's a bunch of stacks of books on the headboard, and I was able to make out a few of them. One of them is The Scarlet Letter. One of them is Finnegan's Wake.
Oh.
One of them is The Ascent of Man. And one of them is The Naked Ape by Desmond Morris, which was like one of the first big body language studies. Which is actually a book I went and checked out before I found that to start inventorying all the body language in the film, because they made a reference to her.
Oh, whoa.
They do this when they transition from General Malone to adult Ellie, she's doing this. She pulls her hair behind her ear,
right.
And then it cuts to Ellie, and she does the exact same
it's
thing.
Like a trope.
And Zemeckis in the commentary actually is like, "Oh, this is a recurring body blend."
Did they reference Carol Burnett at all?
Oh, when she tugs her ear to communicate with her grandmother.
Well, precisely. So it's you have this idea of
like I'm okay.
Well, right. So, but you have this idea that. You mentioned, and you started to touch on it at the beginning of your presentation, but that Zemeckis throughout Contact is using different types of media, right? So you're seeing film, you're seeing a television signal, you're getting radio signals, and he's using almost every type of broadcast media that we have is represented in the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the idea of how are you communicating, not only how are you communicating through it, but also the like the wink and the nod and the whatever. So that was like one of the most famous early ideas of that, of like, I'm doing this, but I've really got a second message, sort of, you know, almost like a PNG, a second layer.
That gets into, once she's transporting through the stuff, there's potential realities or future selves.
Well, it's future things that she says later on in the journey, like you see her head kind of, or like her face like pulls out,
morph,
and she's like, they're alive, and then I had no idea.
But then it also shows her as a girl.
Oh yeah, that reminded me of It's Full of
Super
Stars.
Superimposes her young face over it.
But caught that.
Yeah.
I had never seen that before.
Oh, and also,
I've seen the movie before.
She arrives at the civilization,
right.
And she sees it's a triple, it's a quadruple system. There's 4 suns.
Yeah.
And then she looks down
it's
and
like
she sees the city, which is laid out, I'll have you know, and also this recurring crescent dot shape.
Oh.
The whole layout of the urban planners we're applying that basic thing. And she's like, they're alive, but that four-star system is a poster in all of, in her room in Arecibo, in her room at Socorro also. Mm. Like, it's always on the wall. It's the exact same four-star system. They pointed out in the commentary.
It's her resonator.
Like, oh, there it is again. There's that four-star system poster in her room that she ultimately travels to.
Anything with the unicorn poster in a room?
Maybe. Yeah, there's other, tons of other little details
of
stuff in her room.
Is unicorn astrology at all? Or, like, is there a constellation, unicorn constellation, or no?
That is kind of like
there might be a horse constellation. Or a horsicorn, which is a unicorn with a horse head.
What about a supergirl?
It's for
$30. Yeah,
Bucks.
Yeah. Right. Unicorn. Show is so much
good. Going for it. Oh, dude, I think that show is like totally fucking loaded with shit.
I didn't like how James Wood. They were like, "Hey, there's 18 hours to static." It's like that's
it. That is interesting.
Like,
isn't it?
Yep. It's like fuck that. Reminded me a lot of the Indiana Jones endings where it's like they just have this vault and there it is.
I sure do.
Man of the hour.
I you want to kill the way? I don't.
Hmm.
Isn't it a point at anything?
Wrap it up, he's saying.
Can I bum?
Oh, can you bum us?
I'm out.
Sure.
He's going
sure
on what happens when I resume.
I'd never
even
made the correlation with the intentionality of the bomber and that whole, what you were saying, where it's like the
Sync Book brought to you by
Joe the Camel. And
by a naked guy superimposed on a camel picture.
With the intentionality of the terrorist thing being like a psyop or whatever.
Or a false flag. Or basically just like.
I'd never even thought to think that.
It's
way.
It's kind of this whole
it's very there.
Inside job.
To me, it's kind of like, and I was talking earlier in the information theory, this idea of redundancy, right? As being, and I've talked to you or somebody about the in that book, The Information, the first chapter was it Doug?
Doug, that was Doug. Yeah, I don't know where you at.
The very first chapter is what talks about the African talking drum being the first kind of long distance communications medium. And they would create these poems based on pulses of the drum that would intend to just send a very simple message, like
Morse code.
I've killed a you know a
lion's dead. Here I come.
Yeah, here I come home. But they would repeat it over and over and over and over again in different variations because it had to travel a very long distance, and they just needed to ensure that one iteration of it was heard.
It's kind of actually repeated in Northern Ireland.
This idea of redundancy.
Tower lights, like. Go get them over here.
Oh, yeah, the beacons.
Like,
totally. But so there was a redundant machine.
Yeah.
Basically to ensure that the message was properly received.
And it also has
and
that
the,
elastic
the,
idea
the,
of
the true
trying to tap you.
Passenger was, or a passenger whose intent was good was the one that went, not a slimy politician.
Uh-huh,
so you think
there
was an intention necessarily, because I could see this either or, but you were saying it was implied that it's the redundancy checker or whatever, like litmus test, was built within the development of the machine itself and going through a phase one to a phase two. You thought that was like
intent is part of it's part of the design. Like,
right.
In the blueprints, it says make two of these and keep the same.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And anything about the code being cube, or that's what discovered to be.
It was a dodecahedron.
Yeah,
it was?
Or the transport device.
Not a cube.
No,
he's talking about
the
when they say
you have
to
turn it into a code.
Yeah.
You have to think three-dimensionally.
Right, which is another line from another Zemeckis film, Back to the Future Part 3, when he's like, should I drive? He's like, I'm driving on the train tracks. He's like, but there's no train tracks here yet. He's like, Marty, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally. Or something. Right?
Oh, I was going to ask that Hitler transmission, you say it was from 1936?
Correct.
Okay, because if you numerologically, that ends up being 19, which is 10, which is binary code.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, and the number 19 has a lot of significance too. It's a prime, and I was talking about 609 being a kind of a number or a pictogram of a yin yang. A 619 is, or 16 and 19. You ever notice how, like, if you buy, I don't know, like stencils or whatever for numerals, the 6 and the 9 always has a line on the top or on the bottom too. Which is like, oh, just in case, you know, you're confused, if there's a little noise introduced into your interpretation of the symbol, we include this extra little segment so that you know what number it actually is.
Right.
And the 6 and the 9, my thinking is that the 6 is the sacred feminine and the 9 is the sacred masculine. And when it's a 1, instead of a 0, like a 619 versus a 609, it's kind of emphasizing the masculine as a phallus versus the 0 as an ovum or the vagina or whatever, or womb, you know.
Yeah.
The Enzo circle.
And, what's the astrological thing about what looks like 6 and 9?
Mercury. I mean, not
Gemini.
Cancer.
Cancer. Cancer. Oh, cancer. Cancer, yes.
It's Cancer?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was the whole Bowie thing with the Hogwarts guy. Council was getting all, I don't know.
Rick Van
Yeah, he was saying all the Cancer stuff with that.
Rick died at the age of 69.
Yeah.
And Cancer's a crab.
Yeah,
totally.
And crabs have these pincers, and the broken ring symbol, or the sea, or whatever, is also embedded with this idea of the evolution of the opposable thumb.
Oh my God!
And remember, the machine itself is gripping an orb, and it drops, it releases a ball.
Right.
So it's this thing that's grasping an object and releases it, and that was kind of one of our big evolutionary advantages, right? Is the opposable thumb. And a lot of there's a whole school of thought that believes that mystery schools for thousands of years had full awareness of our evolutionary history and embedded a lot of that into their symbolism. So that's a whole other ball of wax.
I like it a lot.
And the other thing is like, remember this is a little buckle, and it's also creating that same
motion to the
shape, and it's like a fastening device, and I think that is a reference to Isis fastening Osiris's phallus so that she can have sex with him.
The cosmic strap-on?
Yep. But the buckle or the fastener or some kind of connector. I mean, look at my belt buckle. There's the shape again.
Mm-hmm.
This is the open C and then the dot. Yeah, so there's you can just go for it.
There was something I thought of about, like in relation to what happened in the 80s when Reagan was president, the guy who attempted Reagan's assassination, shot him.
Hinckley.
Right? What's his name? James Huberty or whatever?
Hinckley.
He was inspired,
he was
trying to impress
obsessed.
Jodie Foster.
Right, he was trying to.
Yeah,
that
was his obsession.
So, but there was something there I wrote down.
Jodie Foster.
Oh.
To you,
he's like, I did it for her.
Yeah.
Right.
He wrote her a
letter. Have you heard the tapes of him calling her while she's at Harvard?
What? There's tapes of that?
Yeah, there's tapes of it.
Oh, fuck. Devo
just contact.
Did a song, like one of their songs was about, I just found out that it was based on his letter. Can't remember which one. It just sounds kind of like a love song, but they got permission to use that, yeah. Oh, so you're saying there's tapes of that. Oh my God.
Yeah, you can find them on YouTube.
Shit.
He's phone stalking her.
Wow.
She took it well, man. Talk about grace under pressure.
Uh huh.
She was like, hey, it's really not that cool calling me all the time.
She got a safe room.
She maybe not do that anymore. She's really polite.
She's like, I'm not interested. I'm a lesbian. No, I'm just. What's that?
Yeah,
that's really good. Thanks, Tony.
Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
The last movie was, she's done some more since Safe Room.
Okay.
She was an Inside
Friday.
Man.
All the way, too.
Which is an awesome movie.
That was actually,
she was
released
Alicia.
During this Boise Springsteen, in this period of March back in 2016.
Sorry, what was the
It's
first
one
part?
Of the films that corresponds with the dates of this event.
Oh,
the
okay.
release date of Inside Man. So just
which was when?
It's probably 2007, maybe March 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th,
oh, wow.
or 27th.
Right
I'm not
now.
Sure exactly
That's a good
which
movie.
One. Yeah.
Okay.
Standing in the Alpha Beta parking lot, watching the sunset. I'll never forget watching all the reds and oranges slip away. Letting go of yet another dirty day. Breathing in the fumes from so many idling cars. Right beneath the sign with the dusty yellow stars. Watching the sun go down. Watching the sun go down. parking lot, watching you leave me, not quite believing. Standing in the Alpha Beta parking lot, watching the sunset, I'll never forget. Breathing in the fumes from so many idling cars, right beneath the sign with the dusty yellow stars, watching the sun go down, watching the sun go down, watching.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from Syncbook Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, there's so much more content waiting for you at thesyncbook.com. Our newest episodes are always free, and members get access to our full archive of over 600 hours. You'll find all of this, as well as our books and videos, at thesyncbook.com.
Breathing in the fumes from so many idling cars, right beneath the sign with the dusty yellow stars, watching the sun go down, watching the sun go down.